Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is very tempting to hurdle over the first part of the wonderful account in Acts that we just heard and focus exclusively on the deliverance of Peter from the chains of Herod's prison. Luke, however, typically balances such accounts of triumph by also noting the serious trials that the apostles encountered. We hear it at the beginning of our text. Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and after he had seen that it pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter also. James, one of the two famous sons of Zebedee, one of the sons of thunder, was silenced by a sword. Stephen was the first martyr, but James became the first of the 12 to follow him. Even as Herod the Great had sought to kill Christ the newborn king by bathing Bethlehem with the blood of children, so now his son, Herod Agrippa I, sought to silence the body of Christ, the church, by putting James to death. The baptism of Jesus unto death was experienced by the first of his inner circle. Luke also notes that such trials, however, neither stopped nor hindered the spread of the word of the Lord. He does not miss pointing out how sacred history continues to repeat itself in the life of the church as the continuation of faithful Israel, God's people. We find Peter in the chains with soldiers around him as a prisoner of Herod on, of all nights, Passover. Yet, even as an angel of the Lord delivered Israel of old from the bondage of Egypt by striking the firstborn of Egypt, and then leading Israel on that exit, on that very first Passover, so on this night, an angel of the Lord delivers Peter from the bondage of Herod's prison and an evil ruler. Even as the Lord had commanded Israel to be ready for the Exodus by eating the Passover fully dressed with their sandals on, so this angel who releases Peter from chains has him clothed, even has him put his sandals on, then leads him out of prison. Even as the waters of the Red Sea had parted for Israel of old so that they could have safe passage, so Luke tells us on this Passover night, without even touching it, the iron gate opens and Peter exits his bondage. Even as Israel rejoiced that the Lord had rescued them from the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, so when Peter came to himself and realized this wasn't a dream or a vision, he says, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and all that the Jewish people were expecting." What does this account then communicate to us? The same Lord who had delivered his people on the first Passover, the same Lord who in Jesus of Nazareth delivered all people from the bondage of sin, and that through his Passover sacrifice on the cross, is the same Lord who is loosing chains, opening gates for Peter, so that the new Israel may spread far beyond the confines of the Promised Land, far beyond Judea, far beyond Samaria, to the other ends of the earth. In every generation, the church faces trials. James is put to death, Peter is in prison, arson or hurricanes rip through church buildings, Christian missionaries are caught in the crossfire of war, pastor and parishioner alike suffer from the ravages of cancer, but the Lord is at work in the midst of these trials, to accomplish his good and gracious will of saving sinners from everlasting condemnation and death. Sometimes, however, we wish that there were a few more triumphs sprinkled in with the trials. Amidst such feelings, it is important to remember that the same Lord who miraculously freed Peter eternally freed you, each one of you, from the bondage of sin and holy baptism. Yes, Christ came to you and awoke you from the slumber of sin, took chains off that you could never begin to release yourself from, and clothed you in his own righteousness and led you to the promised land of his church as an heir of eternal life. That triumph surpasses Peter's night escape, and it sustains us in every time of trial. The Lord never abandons his people in the midst of trials. He's no fair-weathered friend. The Lord was with Joseph not only as a leader of Egypt, but throughout his imprisonment. The Lord was with Israel not only in the promised land, but throughout their time in Egypt, as well as their wandering in the wilderness. He was with Daniel not only when he faced Jerusalem three times a day and prayed, but also in the lion's den. So with us, he who was abandoned on the cross on account of our sins will never abandon us in time of need. Nothing, not even a death like James or an imprisonment like that of Peter, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In light of his own apostolic experience, Peter writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you also may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." So what happened after this? Well, we're told, a little after the story we just heard, that the angel who delivered Peter struck Herod Agrippa down in death after he joyously accepted acclamation that is only due to God. A triumph, but short-lived, as Peter faced more trials, and Paul's trials and imprisonments were just about to begin. An apostle is put to death, another is imprisoned, then miraculously released. And yet, as Luke repeatedly notes, punctuating his Acts of the Apostles, the word of God increased and multiplied. All whom Jesus calls to the apostolic ministry will encounter trials and will experience triumphs. Not only in triumphs, but also, even especially, in trials, the word of God will increase and will multiply. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.